Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man. I was afraid. And I went, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the banker, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. All right, y'all can be seated. Thank you, Jasmine. We're in the middle of a series that we're entitled A Word in Season. And what we mean by that is that sometimes we get a word that we need at the right time. Has anybody ever had a word in season? Just a right time word? I remember stumbling into this sanctuary as a college sophomore. And hearing a message about discipleship. I had grown up in the church, but no one had really ever taught me what does it mean to be discipled or how to be a disciple of Jesus. And that was a right time word for me. That was a word in season. In fact, that set the trajectory of my life to get me on the stage this morning, 20-some years later, praise the Lord. And so a word in season can shift us. It can move us maybe from where we are, maybe a trajectory we're going, and put us on the right path. And that's my prayer this morning, is that maybe you wandered in here out of tradition or guilt. Maybe you did something this week and said, hey, I need to get to church. Or maybe you showed up desperate, Lord, I need God. But here's my prayer this morning, is that we would come away with a word in season. And so can we pray that this morning? God, speak to me. Father, speak to us this morning. Just out of your own mouth, however you came in this morning, just say, Father, speak to me from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're looking at a passage this morning that has a context. I don't know, anybody grown up hearing the parable of the talents? Is this something that y'all have heard before? All right, 3 of us. Okay, good. This is great. This will be new, fresh material. But Jesus is giving this parable in context of something that the disciples have said. And so if we're going to kind of understand what this parable is about, we got to understand what Jesus was saying. And so the disciples walk out of the temple. This is right before Jesus would be arrested and killed and risen from the dead and ascended. Right before all that, they're walking out of the temple with the disciples, and they look around and they say, Jesus, this temple's pretty awesome, isn't it? And Jesus looks at them. In fact, let's read that this morning. This is the context. This is Matthew 24. It says 25, but it is 24. It says this: Jesus left the temple and was going away. When his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. Just imagine that. Man, look at this. But he answered them, you see these? Do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. And he sat on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately. Now, I want you to, I think I have a photo here of a mock of what it kind of looked like in the temple. I mean, this is a cavernous building, Solomon's colonnade. We're looking out into the courtyard. That would be the courtyard that Jesus and his disciples swept clean. We're talking about football fields of area. So this is a big area. Look at the next photo. This is actually what the disciples would be looking at from the Mount of Olives. This is a big deal. In fact, it would have been similar to us if we walked through the mall in Washington and we looked at the Lincoln Memorial. And we looked at the Washington Monument. We looked at the Capitol building. And then imagine, because this was more than just it was political structure, but it was more than that. It was religious. Imagine if there was a church on the mall. And they were like, look at all this. There's probably even if you didn't agree with everything going on around here, you were kind of like, yeah, I mean, we're pretty hot stuff, you know? Look at this thing. And Herod was not a great person, but he was a really good builder. And he built some big things. And so look at this thing. And they were thinking, yeah, this is good. And then as they walk out, Jesus is like, it's all going to get torn down. I mean, you can imagine a long walk to the Mount of Olives. You're like, Jesus, what? And so, look, pick up in verse 3. He sat on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately and was like, I mean, just think about what would have to happen for everything that you see on the mall at Washington to get torn to the ground. That's a significant thing, right? And so they're like, we need a heads up here. Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming? And at the end of the age. Now, the disciples kind of clump that into one question. But those are three separate questions. Because they had a paradigm that Jesus would come, he'd bring his kingdom, and the end of the age, boom. It was kind of like smushed. And so when it's really hard for us interpreters who read the Bible to say, when is all this happening? Because these are three separate questions. The end of the age would come. Jesus will come, and then the destruction of the temple. Those could be three separate, spread out by thousands of years, and the disciples didn't really understand that. So he goes on and he says, Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. Sound familiar? We got wars and stoppings and startings of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. There's some women in here hoping for some birth pains, right? They're like, please, baby, come. Talked to her this morning. She said, yes, anytime would be great. But this is the beginning of something coming. And then Jesus begins to give this kind of apocalyptic kind of interpretation through the chapter 24. And then he picks up in chapter 25 and he gives three parables. This is the middle of those three parables that we read this morning. The first parable is about 10 virgins, which is kind of interesting. These 10 virgins come, so they're waiting for the bridegroom. And five are wise, they bring extra oil. And five are foolish. And Jesus is saying, look, if you think this is coming fast, And you're here for the moment, but not the bridegroom. Because that's interesting. At the end of that parable, Jesus said, they're at the door knocking, let us in. He goes, I don't know you. We're here for the excitement. We're here for the feeding. We're here for the miracles. But we don't know the Lord. And then he goes on and he gives the parable that we read this morning. Now, what can we see out of the parable of the talents? The first thing we see is that we have been entrusted with great riches. For it will be like a man. It, the kingdom, the time before Jesus dies and rose again, the time in the middle where Jesus dies and rose again, and Jesus coming again. Jesus is coming. And there's a time in the middle of that. And Jesus is saying, it's going to be longer than you think. And so how should we live in the in-between? And that's what he's talking about. He called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one, he gave 5 talents. To another, 2. To another, 1. To each according to his ability when he went away. I used to read this passage and be like, poor guy with 1 talent. You know? Because that word talent, we have a meaning for that word. It's not the same meaning. It's really not the same word. So it's hard for us because we're always like, I'm like, I bet that's the 1 talent guy. You know? That hubris, you know? That's that 1 talent guy. But that's not what it is. A talent is a weight of measurement. It's actually a weight of measurement. If you're reading your NIV, if you were reading your NIV for the gospel challenge this summer, it says bags of gold. That sounds better, doesn't it? You can have a talent, or you can have bags of gold. I'm going to go with the gold. You know, you can keep your 1 talent. I'm going to go with the But a talent is bags of gold. In fact, most historians and interpreters think that this is a talent of measurement of gold that means about 20 years annual salary in one. 20 years. Now, I don't know what you make in a year, but multiply it by 20. That's life-changing wealth. Like, things could be a little different for me and my family if I got about 20 years in a moment. That's what he's saying here. That's 1 talent. Most think that maybe we did an equivalent about $2 million. And here's the owner of the property says, here's $2 million. Go put it to work. How many of y'all could do something with $2 million? Right? But that's what he's saying. We have been entrusted with great riches. Do you understand this morning that if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're in the kingdom, he has entrusted you with great riches? Not like make you through the weekend, get me to the next paycheck kind of wealth. Like he has given us the riches of his grace in Christ Jesus. Romans 10:12 says this, for there is no distinction, Jews or Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about a master here, a Lord to his servants, who is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on them. If you're in Christ this morning, you are rich. You have the riches of God with you. Have you sat down and unpacked what he has entrusted to you? What about a new heart? Ezekiel says, you had a heart of stone, and he's given you a heart of flesh. I remember what that shift was like. What is this? I haven't seen this in 15 years. What are these things, right? Because God is softening my heart. Right? Oh, why am I caring about this? Because I got a new heart. You have the covenants of promise, Ephesians 2 says. The promises of God that God's given the people of God from Abraham on, he's given to us, praise the Lord. You were strangers to the covenants of promise, but now in Christ, you are part of the lineage of God's promises. Promises like, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I'll never turn my back on you. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. You are rich this morning. What about the nearness of God? We talked about that during worship. Did you know that God's near you? What could you do with the reality of you walking as if God was with you? Rich in his grace this morning. I'm only getting started. What if God was your dad? That you were adopted, grafted in. He was your father and bestowing the riches on you. You are rich in the grace of God this morning and forevermore. Now, what if there was a big debt that you owed? Oh, there is. And what if he canceled that debt? Wouldn't that kind of shift how you live? Every day waking up, man, I got this debt. I'm going to pay this debt. Oh, dear God. And then one day, God just says, I'm going to take it all. No debt. Oh, now I can dream again. Now I can, because I was just dreaming of not going to jail. Now I'm dreaming about what God might do with my life. You see that shift? You are rich in his grace this morning. What about access to the throne of God? I think it's Hebrews says, come boldly to the throne of grace to receive what? Mercy, which means you ain't perfect yet. You're going to need some mercy. So which means when we fall, we're not disqualified, or else why would we come for mercy? To get up and come. Access to the grace of God this morning. What about friendship with God? That you don't just have to stand like legally right, but you have access to God to be his friend. And what could we do if we walked every day as a friend of God? I'm God's friend. He hears my prayers. He cares about me. What if God was spirit? I think that's biblical. What if God was spirit and then he put that spirit inside of you? That's a game changer, right? Because now the spirit of God lives inside of me. I can hear God. John 14, John 16. That if I started going down the wrong path, he would convict my sin and adjust me. If I didn't know something was coming, he could let me know. I will disclose to you the things that are to come, he said. What if I needed God to communicate his love for me? I know he loves me, but what if his spirit kind of showed me he loved me? That's what the scripture says. The spirit does. He will pour out his love by the spirit. He will testify with you. What if I'm insecure about my relationship with God? There's a spirit who will testify that you are his daughter, that you are his son. You are rich this morning with the grace of God. What if you were this? I had a nickname in high school that was Bubba. I didn't mind it, you know. I'm from Eastern North Carolina. But when I got to college, I wanted a new name. I wanted a kind of new slate. People would call me Bubba. I'd just keep walking. Hey, Bubba! Right? A new name. But when you come to Christ, he changes your name. You have a new identity. You have a new family. You have victory over sin. All the riches of the grace of God he has bestowed upon us. That's just one talent, y'all. That's just one bag of gold. And you might be saying, and here's the trap. I don't have as much gold as so-and-so. Oh, but you got one bag. You got $2 million. You got 20 years income in a moment to put to work. And you might not do it if you're worried about what so-and-so has. Well, God didn't give you so-and-so as well. He gave you the riches of his grace. Now, some of us do get more talents. We don't get two, we get $10 million. That's okay. That's not what this is about. This is about I give how I want to give, and you work it out. Some of you have generational wealth. You didn't earn it. It's just come to you. You've got to be entrusted with great riches. Some of you get more time than others. Some of you are going to have 80, 90 years on this planet. What a bag of wealth. I know people who would empty their bank account for a few more years. You've been given gifts and abilities, positions of influence, ears of influential people, more time. You, in this country, you get a freedom of speech. You get to say what you want to say and not be put in prison. That's a gift. Until you don't have it, then you realize how a gift it is. And what I love about this is Jesus, the master, he says, you've been faithful with little. Isn't that crazy? I'm sorry, what? Just imagine the riches that are coming. He said, oh, this was just little. This is little about what you will have in the kingdom, in the coming kingdom. Have you seen this morning the great wealth and value of God's investment towards you? He trusts you. He trusts you with these things. He doesn't expect you to be perfect. That's why, where is Jesus? That's why we need the grace of God. You're going to screw up. That's why Christ went to the cross. That's why the spirit of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation. But have you unlocked, have you seen the riches of his grace this morning? Have you begun to unpack the power and the wealth of the gospel available to you? Or have you buried it in the dirt? Are you more concerned about what others have? And that's like epidemic, isn't it? That's why Jesus, in the Ten Commandments, the Big Ten, he says, don't covet. Don't do that. That's going to keep you from seeing what I've given you. Second thing we see here is not only have we been entrusted with great riches, we will give an account of what he has done. Sorry, what we have done with his great wealth. Let me read that again. We will give an account for what we have done with his great wealth. Verse 19, now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Think Shark Tank, right? You stand before the panel. Those of you who watched the show, Mark Cuban's up there, and he's like, man, I believe in what you're doing, man. Just imagine Jesus on the panel of Shark Tank saying, look, I got bags of gold, riches of my grace. Just, I'm going to invest it. Just give it to them all, right? Anyone who knows that when they've received that investment, that those who are investing are looking for a return. Like, this isn't beach house money. This is like, I better put this money to work because somebody's coming back for it kind of thing. Unless you're real estate, and then you're like, oh, that's a good investment, right? Whatever it is, this is money to be put to work. Someone is going to come back and say, what did you do? What did you do with access to the throne of God? What did you do with the righteousness of God gifted to you? Not of your own works, but his. My father was a financial advisor. And he, for whatever reason, decided when my brother and I were in high school, he also was like a lay leader in our church. He was an elder, and he would teach biblical financial principles. I can't remember what it was called. Crown Financial, I think is what it's called. But we had to go. We were the only teenagers in the class, as you can imagine. Like, nobody was getting up early for church to take biblical finance at my church, you know. But we were there, you know. And my dad's teaching us principles. Praise God, he taught us. Amen. He kept us away from some things. Well, he began to teach this class, and he would teach classes about financial management in the church through the years. He's 75. He and my mom, he's 75 right now. He's still leading life groups in his home, still leading foundations classes, loves God, making disciples. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's using his talent. And so here he is, and he was leading this class on financial management, and he said, you know what? I ran across this parable, Blake, and I said, you know what? I'm going to do something. He calls up his pastor. He says, hey, can I give my tithe this month? Not to, like, I'm not going to put it in the offering, but I'm going to break it up and give it to the class as an investment to steward. And the pastor's like, that sounds like a great idea. Do it. So he just put, you know, $100 here, $5 here, $200 here, $20 here, and passed out the envelopes. He says, I don't know what you got, but you've been invested. Now go put it to work. And at the end of the class, I want to know what you did. I mean, he said at the end of this semester, he had probably five times his tithe. That they put the money to work and produce more. You see that? They knew the end of the class was coming, and they're going to have to give a public account. That's different than a private account, right? What'd you do with that money? And everybody's like, yeah, what did you do? And here, to my recognition, in this parable, it was a public account, wasn't it? The one got to see. In fact, the one got his taken away and given to the ten. There was a public. So what am I saying? I'm saying that we will give an account for what we do with the riches of God. Jesus is hitting on two mistakes here. He's saying, look, I will come again. And there needs to be some urgency to that reality. And one of the mistakes is, like the disciples, like, when's it going to be, Lord? Is it going to be in 2027? Is it going to be in 70? Like, they're trying to find a date. Because I think, and I'm the wisdom of God, he ain't letting you know a date. Think about how you'd be wilding out and acting, you know what I mean? He's like, oh, shoot, boy, coming back. Y'all have seen the craziness of people who try to predict this and then live a certain way, right? And so he's like, you don't know the day nor the hour. It's really not your concern. But this is what he's showing us. Your concern is what you've been entrusted with. Because when I come back, it ain't going to be about, did you time it right? It's about, what'd you do with what I gave you? So one kind of ditch in this reality is that we try to time and we're over-fixated about when he's coming. And we don't put to work what he's given us. The other ditch is acting like it ain't coming. Right? Oh, it's a long time. That's what one of the parables says. He's a long time. Be careful. And so we get this tension that we live in between we have to plan as if it's going to be 1,000 years from now. And we have to live as if it might happen tomorrow. There's a tension there, isn't there? Do you live like someone who will give an account for what God has entrusted to you? What great wealth has God entrusted to you? I'm not talking about your brother. I'm not talking about your sister. I'm not talking about your dad or your kids. I'm saying, what has he trusted to you? Do you have an ownership mentality or a stewardship mentality? That all this ain't yours. Being in that financial class with my dad helped me realize it ain't my stuff. It's his. That's why this concept of like giving tithe was like never a thing because it was never mine. It was always his. It was always his. He lets me steward the 90. That's a lot. Do you see your influence, your friendships, your church family, your gifts and abilities, your resources as something to steward for kingdom expansion? Or something to be consumed for personal benefit? How do we view what God's graced us with? The riches of his grace. That's a challenge this morning, isn't it? Now, I don't want you to, under the weight of, dear God, oh no, no, I want you to say, he's a good father that wants to see his investments grow, praise the Lord. So in the right mentality, we realize that this is a partnership God's inviting us into to be a part creatively of what God is doing. Does that make sense? He don't need you. He wants to partner with you. You see that? He could get 100 times the return. But he's like, hey, what do you want to do with it, Danny? What do you want to do with the riches of my grace? I want to see you creatively put it to work. Isn't that cool? That God gives us his riches and then lets us put it to work. There's nothing about how it happened. But here's what's interesting. He is looking for growth. This is not the church and the kingdom of heaven holding on. Just, oh, Jesus, right? Oh, Jesus, come. Oh, we need you. He's saying, no, I'm coming. Put it to work. Let's see it grow. Let's see it expand. Let's see the walls of this building not be big enough. Let's see this corner on 14th and Evans not be big enough. Let's see what God might do. He wants to see growth. Now, number three, faith and work work together. Look at this. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded them. He made them 5 more. Now we hear that, we think stock market trade. That brother's at home with that new AI app that's predicting the stock market. Boy, he's making some money. No, that's not what he said. There's no stock market. There's no. So think about the context Jesus is saying here. Probably the two predominant ways to put money to work were trade and commerce and agriculture. So what did that look like? You got a bag of gold. You got 20 years of annual income. Now you got to put it to work. So that meant you had to go probably and buy some fish from the Sea of Galilee and then go down 2 hours away and sell some fish for a profit. Y'all see that? You buy wholesale, sell retail. And the further away, the more money you get, right? So you got to, oh, it's going to take 5 days to get there. I'm going to have to bit the salt, right? There's some business going on. There's some retail, there's wholesale retail. So that was probably the predominant way they were hearing that. These servants of the master would say, okay, we got this money. Let's put it to work. Let's buy some stuff. Let's sell some stuff. Let's create a profit. Now, the second way is probably agriculture. Like, we got to go buy seed, right? Maybe expand our land a little bit. Pay for the workers so that when the harvest next season comes, we're going to have 5 times the amount of seed, right? And then sell it, and then we get a profit. Y'all see what's going on here. So we think, oh, man, how am I going to make my money work for me? You see that? Now, that's our mentality, right? Ain't no money working for you. You got to work the money. You see? So faith and work work together. Now, look at what he says to the 1 talent brother. He says, you wicked and slothful servant. Or some translations say lazy. Why? Because to put this money to work was going to take some effort. It's not going to work itself. You're going to have to work it. And this is what's beautiful about the gospel is you don't work to receive the reward. It was already been entrusted. You got great wealth. You work because it's been entrusted. Do you see that? So what he's not saying is that you better get to work or you might not get a reward. No, you've already got the reward. Now do something with it. And I'm going to see what you're going to do. Because the one who didn't do anything with the investment, he didn't trust in the character of the master. He said, you're a hard man, right? He didn't see the value of what God had invested. And so he hid it in the ground. He didn't open it and use it. He didn't work out his salvation with fear and trembling because it must not have been his. It was someone else's. It was never this partnership with a loving God. It was, oh, he doesn't really, this cross thing isn't really for me. This gospel thing isn't really for me. That's for somebody else. He just wants this, that, that. And the relationship's not there, so we don't go to work. But if you know the master, you go to work. You put your faith and your work together. The gospel doesn't take away effort. We hit this here, and I pray every church hits this here. The gospel's free. You don't get to earn this. It's not based on your record. It's based on Christ's. It's the free gift of salvation for all who believe. But if you believe and you've seen what he's done, then you put it to work. Work is a response to his goodness, not an earning of his goodness. Okay, so this is kind of the flip side of that to say, man, he's been so good to you. Now put it to work. So the gospel doesn't take away effort. It just takes away earning. You see that? You don't get to earn this. You get to put it to work. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For the word of the cross is foolishness. How they just throw it to the ground to give it back. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. Now, look at this kind of theme through this parable. Entrust, depart, delay, return, accounting, reward. Y'all see that theme? Entrust, depart, delay. We don't like that delay part. We're honking the horn in the driveway, right? We're late. No, we're gonna just wait a while. Then we're gonna return. Accounting, reward. And what I love about this is in Christ, there's no separation between this life and the life to come. I mean, there is, but there isn't. You see that connection? You've been faithful with little. What you do in this life matters. You see that? We want to say, oh, it's all. No, it's not all. What we're doing means something to God and to the kingdom in this life. As we close, God has entrusted great wealth to you. Man, his love, his forgiveness, his righteousness, his adoption, his confidence, his humility, his passion, your new heart, his spirit living inside of you. Great investment into you. Have you accepted that this morning? Are you walking in the confidence of someone who walks with God? If you will submit to Jesus as King this morning, there is great riches for you. For those who are in Christ this morning, are you living like someone who must give an account? Not holding on, but in working what you have for his glory? Because here's what's neat, the kingdom's advancing. Will we put it to work? Do our actions, see, let me say it this way. Our actions demonstrate our faith. Our lack of work, our lack of effort, our lack of leaning in means we don't believe that he's going to bless what we're doing. We don't believe that he's going to meet me when I step out. Now, that's not for condemnation because we're in Christ, we're adopted. But that is for grace to move forward. There's nothing like your friend knowing there's a pop quiz coming and doesn't tell you in the hallway. That's not a good friend, right? Jesus is like, look, you're going to give an account. Because I love you, I'm going to let you know in advance. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your word. We just ask you, Holy Spirit, to touch hearts, Lord. If anyone is not right with you this morning and you love them and want them to be right, Lord, that you would put on their heart this morning. You would lavish them with your love. You put that your finger on that thing of their heart, keeping them from you. I'm going to give everyone in this room opportunity this morning to respond to the Lord. If you're here this morning, you're saying, Blake, I'm not right with God. I've taken the riches of his grace and I've hid it away. But But I want to accept it this morning. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the Lord. Raise it high. Amen. 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 You can put your hands down. If you raised your hand this morning, I just want to invite you to say a prayer out of your heart. Jesus, I love you. Forgive me for neglecting your grace. I receive all that you've given me. And I turn away from everything that's not from you. I let go of the sin that I've treasured more than you. I want to follow you with my whole heart. Holy Spirit, minister to those. If you're in here this morning, you're saying, Blake, I know I'm in Christ and he has lavished me with great riches, but I have not put it to work. And I want to repent this morning. I want to say I'm sorry, and I want to begin to work out my salvation. If that's you this morning, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Amen. Father, you see these hands. Lord, help us not to be owners, but stewards of your great and many gifts. God, give us a stewardship mentality this morning. We want to put our money to work. We want to put our resources. We want to put our talents and our abilities. We want to put our time, our effort. We want to put that towards your glory and your kingdom. We want to put it to work. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that this would be a word in season. Lord, anything that's not from you, I pray that it would fall away. And anything that's from you, I pray that it would encourage, challenge, and strengthen your people. God, we're grateful this morning for your abundant riches. Lord, help us not to look towards others and what they have, that might keep us from putting to work what you've already given us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isn't God good this morning? Amen. Let's stand to our feet as we close. Thank you for being with us. If you need prayer for anything, our prayer team is going to be up here. We'd love to pray for you. If you have any questions, or I'll be up here as well to answer any questions. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. We pray that God would comfort you, strengthen you, and help you put his grace to work this week. In Jesus' name, amen.